Mic check here. 1 2. 1 2. Episode 11. No gruffs given. Shana Tova. Shana Tova is Happy New Year in Hebrew. Okay. Shana Tova to everyone. You know, unfortunately, I had one guy, and I don't know if he was being a smartass or not. He sent me a DM on Instagram. He said, Sean, can you just stop talking about COVID? Yeah, okay. Well, what would you like me to talk about, bud? What would you like me to talk about? Because I would love to stop talking about COVID. It's number one on my list. That would mean we would go back to normal, living our fucking lives, not masking our children, not isolating ourselves. This whole thing, the nursing homes, I was just thinking about it because obviously we just went through the holidays and my Nana, Phyllis, okay? And, you know, I think this has been reported on and but I want everyone to stop and think, okay? So if you're in a long-term care facility, if you're an older person that lives in a nursing home, assisted living, some sort of living arrangement, if one person in the facility gets COVID, every single individual living there gets locked down. So if you're in your late 80s, let's say you've already had COVID, okay? You now have to stay in your room for 10 days. You imagine, and this is repeated. This isn't like, maybe I could do one 10-day quarantine. I saw on Instagram, Liev Schreiber, he's like in Chile doing a movie and he had to quarantine for 10 days. And he was kind of making a joke of it, but you know, you could visually see the guy was losing his mind. If you put me in a room for fucking 10 days and I couldn't leave, I'm not sure I get out. I'm not sure I come out breathing. I think that, or I do something drastically irresponsible, right? Like, and these COVID camps in Australia, there's no fucking way. They're going to have to shackle me to a bed. I'm breaking all of the regulations. I'm doing some sort of tomfoolery. Something's happening. I'm getting myself out. So to the smart ass that sent me that message, I would love to, but unfortunately we can't, you know. Ontario, Doug Ford. Now, Doug Ford is the premier of Ontario. His brother, Rob Ford, allegedly killed maybe some hookers, or he definitely was smoking crack with hookers in a hotel room. This is the guy's brother who was previously the premier of Ontario. So this is Ontario, Canada's leadership. This is who we're dealing with. The guy's like 5 foot four, 260, okay? You could fucking roll him down a bowling. You could just pack him in a bag and put him in your bag and use him as a bowling ball. This guy is a monster. Okay, so here we go. Ontario's COVID measures. This is as of today, a few hours ago. They've now closed schools. Schools are moving online. Indoor dining is closed. So this is a funny one. Okay, so indoor dining's closed, but outdoor dining's closed. It's negative 20. Okay. Did you watch the Winter Classic, the outdoor game, the coldest hockey game in the history of hockey games? Michael, can you check what the temperature was in both Celsius and Fahrenheit? So yeah, fucking indoor dining. Yeah, of course. So that means restaurants are closed now again. I also just was told about this whole thing in Ontario, Canada, where the government is paying restaurants still to subsidize them. Okay. So if you own a restaurant, you're getting some sort of money from the government still. This is 2 years later. Where is that money coming from? Do you think that they just, they do have a money tree. They just print money. And I'm not an inflation expert, but I'm starting to understand what inflation means. I had no idea what it meant 30 days ago. I have a pretty good understanding of inflation now. I know the basics of what it means. When you print money, inflation happens. Not only are they printing money, but you, the taxpayers, you're the ones that are paying for this. So the fix is in, right? And I'm going to go through a bunch of reasons why I think the fix is in. And I'm also going to address Dr. Robert Malone's interview with what was the temperature?
It's negative 7 at puck drop. Fahrenheit, which is minus 21, yeah. 22. So
negative 7. So Fahrenheit. So for Americans, when they see the temperature drop into the negatives, that's a foreign land for them, except for people in North Dakota and South Dakota. Anna is from North? South Dakota. You were just home. What was the temperature? Yeah, negative 22. Okay. So restaurants are done in Ontario. That's it. That's a shutdown. Gyms are closed, which, you know, again, interesting. 2 years into this whole thing and we're still not promoting healthy living. It's incredible. It really is incredible. They spend all this money on videos. You know, the big thing with Christmas, I saw a bunch of these propaganda videos where the kids were like, I don't want Santa to bring anything this year. I just want my vaccine. So whoever the monster is that came up with that, you know, a bunch of civil servants sitting around in a fucking room and they come up with this idea. I hope that they die of a slow death. Like bone cancer would be preferable, right? Maybe they get a heart transplant and the heart's wonky because they didn't have a heart in the first place, or they didn't have a brain. You know, one of the two. It's a fucking coin toss. All these proceeds going to these propaganda videos. It's instead we could just be creating videos saying, you know what? Why don't we get healthy? Why don't you get outside? Why don't you get into the gym? Why don't we all focus on getting healthy as a society, as a province, as a country, the country of America? Could you imagine what would happen if the USA got healthy? If high schools focused on that? Because it's not just like, weight isn't the thing, right? Because you see UFC fighters, the guy that does the shoey, Tua, he's a big guy. He's a happy man, okay? The guy's a happy fucking guy. He's healthy. He's healthy in his mind. It's a two-way street. So Ontario's done. They're done. Now, here's what I would say, okay? When are the people going to stand up? When are you collectively all going to stand up? You have two interviews. And Joe Rogan, Joe's got to be careful because this Malone interview, it's just as explosive and as good as the McCullough interview. Now, I didn't know anything about Malone except anything that I've sort of seeped into my masses via social media. I've read like, oh, this guy's crazy. The crazy guy that invented mRNA, like all this shit. This guy is so poised, so smart, okay? He walks through it step by step, just like McCullough did, okay? So just if you're on the fence at this point, go and watch those two videos. If you're not on the fence, you need to actively say to yourself, I'm going to be part of a movement. And whoever's taking charge and saying we need feet on the ground, we need to send a message, we need to collectively congregate peacefully. Remember, peacefully, because, you know, by the way, January 6th is a few days away, and we're going to get that stuff down our throat about the terrible insurrection where they almost overturned the country and, you know, all these people died, which a few people died, but, you know, they conveniently left out that they didn't die from the insurrection. They just coincidentally had, you know, a guy had a heart attack or a brain aneurysm. You know, there's a lot of fishy stuff that went on, okay? We'll jump into Canada. So there's restrictions on capacity for the arenas, all right? So they pull out of the Olympics, which, by the way, I don't know if you followed, but I saw a little bit. And so RA from Spit and Chicklets, apparently he broke the news, okay? Not apparently. I've been told that he broke the news, that's a fact. And people in the sports business, in the news business, they took that and they claimed it to be their own scoop. And I don't know why RA and the guys didn't make a bigger deal out of it. I don't know why Wit or Biz, they didn't. I don't know. I don't know why collectively they all sort of let that slide. It's not cool. I didn't like it. Okay, so they pull out of the Olympics, right? So what that does now is open up a 2-week window for the NHL. Maybe even more. It's probably 3 weeks, actually, when you think about it. So let's say, we'll call it 3 weeks. The NHL has a 3-week window now. So because the country of Canada has passed this, and I don't know if it's just Ontario or not. Michael, can you check that and get back to me on that? Is the attendance been lowered in all of Canada?
It looks like all over Canada, because there's games postponed till January 16th, Oilers and Jets.
Okay. So. All right. So all of Canada, they've done this. They've done this now because they think that they have this window, right? So let's wait. We don't want to play these games with empty arenas because it's going to hurt hockey-related revenue. And the only way that hockey-related revenue gets repaid is by the players. The owners don't take a hit in that, okay? The deal is the players have to make the owners whole. So I don't know what happened if the NHL just threw the PA a bone and said, okay, we'll wait, we'll postpone all these games. Here's the problem with the whole situation. Well, the problem is that these Canadian teams and the individuals running these teams, including, you know, my I love him, okay? I love him. He's done a lot for me over my life, Brendan Shanahan. I don't even know who else runs the other teams. Well, Bergevin got fired in Montreal. The GM's in Vancouver. Do they have one? Yeah, they just hired Rutherford. He's not going to say shit. They need to stand up because they have a lot of influence in Canada, the NHL teams. They need to stand up and say, this has got to stop, okay? Because this is what's going to happen. So you're going to take all this time off, which, by the way, is awful for the rhythm of a season, for making sure that your guys are healthy and that you can maximize your goalies and how many games they're going to play. It fucks everything up. All of the American teams now have an advantage over all of the Canadian teams. That's a fact. If you want to debate that, you don't know anything about the game. So they're going to pack all these games into a shorter schedule when they start making it up. By the way, that's if they are even able to do that, because you have these fucking warlord lunatics in Canada calling the shots, these public health officials that before COVID, they walked around and they inspected for rat shit in restaurants. These people are now determining the future of a lot of people, putting people's businesses out of business, okay? That's the reality of it. So they're going to pack all these games into the schedule. So the American teams are going to have an advantage, okay? You're going to have guys get hurt. That's assuming that they're even going to be able to play because the capacity limit is lifted, because we're 2 years into this and it's still happening. Yeah, you know, get with the program here. The fix is in. When are you going to stand up? And, you know, I don't expect, honestly, it's not that I expect. It'll never happen. Brendan Shanahan's never going to stand up and say, we need to change this. You know, the kids in Canada, they need to play hockey. You can't force them to get a vaccine, which, by the way, is causing wild, wild issues with a lot of people. It's never going to happen. No one has the chutzpah. Let's stay with the Hebrew fucking. Nobody has the chutzpah to stand up and do this. Brad Marchand came out and said, you know, he made a statement about the Olympics. He's really the first one that's kind of gone against the grain, all right? It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. Zach Sachenko. This is kind of a heartwarming story, all right? He just made his NHL debut, okay? 717 East Coast Hockey League players have ever made the NHL. In 2021-22, there's already been 19 East Coast hockey players play in the NHL. So if you're in the East Coast and you're grinding, or if you're in the American League and you're grinding, I say to you, I mean, you're always going to have an opportunity to play as long as you keep grinding. Now, the longer you're grinding, the harder it is to grind. So maybe grind more earlier, but you're going to get a shot. Your career isn't dead. Now, speaking of which, okay. So last week I said, I don't know. I've had this fucking, I don't know. There's something brewing in my mind, okay? I don't know what it is. If it's because I've started to watch a lot more hockey, Is it because I've gone to a few games in person, the Kings games? I don't know what it is, but I went and bought skates. Now, I was always a custom skate 8 3/4. I didn't want to wait to order skates because that's like a whole process and fucking Chinese New Year. The factories are shut down and God knows how. I probably wouldn't get my skates till March. All right. Because when you're playing, your trainer has these orders in the pipeline. So you always know, like my trainer Cass in New York knew that I was going to wear a certain amount of pair of skates over the season. I usually wore a new pair of skates every 10 games. Okay. So you would order based on that. All right. There's 30 games left in the season, playoffs. I'm going to make sure that I got 6 pairs of skates ready for Sean. So it would take a while. So I went to the store, the hockey store. Now I'm in California. There's like one store. They have an oven. So I go in. Now you gotta remember, this was sort of, it was very weird for me. Okay. I haven't put a pair of skates on in 8 years. I certainly haven't bought a pair of hockey skates in a hockey store since 1994. Okay. Because from then on, I played on teams where they got you your skates. So 1994 was the last time I went in and bought a pair of skates. I'm sure my dad, Al, was with me. I had no idea what I was doing. It was weird. I was like, I asked the kid, so what skates are the better skates? I want the Bowers. Which ones are the better? So he tells me about the two different skates. One, the Hyperlites, you're on your toes a little bit more forward. I was like, just get me both pairs. Give me an 8.5. I'm a 10 shoe in life. I walk around a 10. So I go down a size and a half. I always remember the rule was maybe Gretzky's dad said, yeah, you go down one size, but Wayne went down 2 sizes. There was always a lot of folklore around it, wives' tales. So I go down a size and a half. The guy puts my foot on this fucking pad, and it takes like a scan of your foot, which is pretty cool. For the average person to be able to get that type of service, that's great. So he brings out both pairs. I said to him, give me the left from that skate, give me the left from that style and the right from that style. He goes, well, you know, normally your right's bigger than your... I said, dude, just give me the fucking... Give me a left and give me a right. I just need to put them on my feet for a second and I'll know. It's exactly what I did. I put them both on. The Hyperlite felt way better than the other Bauer version, whichever is the high-end model. So I said, okay, let's go. I relace the skates because I don't like how they come out of the box from the factory. So I lace my skates. He takes them to the oven. I said, how long do you do? He goes, well, we do 5 minutes. I said, put them in for 7. All right. So he puts them in for 7. He comes back. I tie him up. All right. I tie him up and I said to the kid, you got any tape? He goes, what do you mean? I said, you got any tape? You got any stick tape, sock tape? I don't care. Just give me anything. He's like, well, sometimes we saran wrap them to keep the heat in. I was like, great. I never heard of that. Give me the saran wrap. So I do a tongue flop. All right. I've always done it because I like my shin pad to sit right on top of the front part of my skate. So I flip my tongue over and my shin pad sits nicely, hovers just above it. So there's no friction. Okay. Anyone that doesn't do that, I look at them and I go, you're a barbarian. I don't know how you would play like that. It's awful. Terrible. Not from a style standpoint, because I like flop, but because you have friction. And I don't want any friction when I'm out there. I want to be gliding and moving. Quick, first burst, 3 steps. So the kid gets me the saran wrap. We saran wrap the skates. My tongues are flipped down. And I go over them with the plastic tape. Because I want these things to mold, all right? I got a hot window. I want them on as quick as possible, and I want them fucking molding. So we go through that process. I stand up. I walk around. He's like, oh, no, you're not supposed to walk around. I was like, listen, Jimmy, okay? Is that your name, Jimmy? Don't worry about me. I'm all set, okay? I'll probably wear these skates. I'm either going to wear these skates for years or I'm going to wear these skates for a month. Now, you might ask, why a month, Sean? Here's where I'm at, okay? By the way, here's the other thing. The skates now, you can take the blades off by just pressing a button. And I talked to Cass in New York. I said, when did this happen? Because if you don't realize, so what I had to do was I needed to send the blades to New York to have Cass, the trainer, rocker my blades because he remembers how to do it and he's the best at it. So I'm thinking I got to send the fucking skates. It's a whole thing. You just have to send the blades now. And what they can do is you remember in the old days, a guy loses an edge. He has to take his skate off. The trainer runs down the hallway with his skate. Now they just click the blades off and they put a fresh pair of blades in. It's fucking, it's a revolutionary technology. Let me tell you, for a guy that hadn't seen a skate in 8 years, I was blown away. So my blades are sent to New York. What I'm going to get back is a bag of equipment. All right. I'm going to wear a medium Bauer pant with suspenders, with a long white lace that I use to tie up the girdle part, okay? And then the lace is floppy. That's sort of my thing. I always did it. I'm going to get shin pads, gloves, pants, shoulder pads. I said for the smallest pair possible because nobody hits anymore, all right? The smallest pair possible. I mean, they sell a version that's sort of like for an adult rec league version. I want those. I don't need any padding in my shoulders. I'm good to go. I'm going to get a bag back. I'm going to take that equipment. I'm going to put my skates on. I'm going to go out and skate once. If I feel good, then I'm going to come back at a retirement and I'm going to play next year. I'm going to go to Brainerd, Minnesota, July 4th. I'm going to move everyone. We're going to move there for the summer and I'm going to train with all the kids, whoever else is there. I'll probably skate twice a day, work out, and I'll get ready for training camp. And then training camp, I'm going to go to Tampa Bay Lightning. I'm going to go as a walk-on and I'm going to make the team. I'm going to do every interview in a Make America Great hat. I'm going to be magged out. I'm going to light it up. I'm going to do one knee down one timers, which is funny. Chris Draper asked me, because I was telling Drapes about this. He's like, do you think you could do the knee down? And it's funny because I don't know. At this point, I have no, I mean, yeah, I'm going to be able, but am I going to feel good is the question. I'm in unbelievable shape, which by the way, brings me to a note that I've been meaning to. If you are a doctor in California, all right, I need a doctor in California that wants to help me be me. Now, what does that mean? It could mean I want to get juicy, could mean that I want to get lubed up, could mean that I want a doctor that understands that we NHL players have incredible insurance. We have zero copay. I want everything that I want. Okay. So if you know a California doctor who says, you know what, Sean, I know you're responsible. I'm not worried about prescriptions and giving you and hooking you up. That's what I'm looking for. All right. I don't want any red tape. I want to get to work. If I feel good, I want to get to work. Okay. So if you know anybody in California, I would like you to put me in contact with them and I will take care of you. Let's just put it that way. So that's the plan. So I'm going to skate once, and if I feel good, I'm going to come out of retirement. I had somebody say, dude, are you like, can you? And I kind of laughed at them, like, what do you mean? Logistically, can I? Yeah, I can. You can do whatever you want logistically. Anybody could get an invite to an NHL training camp as long as they get the invite, okay? The question was, could you? Can you do it? Absolutely, I can do it. Absolutely. The physical condition that I'm in right now, the amount that I have ran since the quarantine started, I mean, I've basically run 5 miles every single day hard since the quarantine started for 2 years. I've run hundreds and hundreds of miles. I am in incredible shape, okay? I've been hard in the gym for the last 4 months, 6 months probably, with my trainer Gunner, okay? I feel unbelievable. I guess part of the reason why I'm actually even considering this is how good I feel right now, because that's always an indication. If you don't feel good, you don't feel up to doing certain things. getting in shape in 2022 is going to be hard if you don't feel great, right? So I think there's this psychological thing going on right now that I feel so good. Something's itching. I've also had a couple of dreams, which is always sort of like the way I manifest things. If I dream about it, I know something's happening. I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of moving parts. The point is, the equipment is so light. I held a stick. I was blown away. You got to understand, the last time I held a stick was 8 years ago. I don't know how many grams or milligrams they've taken off the weight of a fucking hockey stick, but it is light. It is light. It felt crispy in my hands. I got the Braden Point Curve, the Warrior Sticks, in left-handed, okay? My old trainer, Peter Miller from Los Angeles, is now the Warrior rep. Everything comes around full circle. The moons are fucking in a position right now that I might do something wild, all right? I might do something really wild, and I might have fun doing it, okay? I'm going to have to be really good, though. It's not going to, you can't be a board, because all the powers that be, you know, I'm sure the NHL, I'm sure the last thing they want me to do is to come back and play. If I'm good, if I'm too good, then that's out of their control to a certain extent. Okay. Another interesting little thing that I saw, Arctos Sports Partners, which, so it's basically a money fund, just bought a piece of the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Minnesota Wild. So I did some research. Apparently the NHL just changed the rules so that private equity can buy into pieces of franchises. I don't know how recent it is, but keep an eye out for this Arctos Sports Partners. Doc O'Connor used to be an agent at CAA. He left CAA to go work for Jim Dolan. That didn't work out. I probably could have said that was going to happen because Mr. Dolan's a difficult, he's not easy to work with, especially if you're trying to work right beside him. So Doc probably got paid out a boatload of money. He's probably still getting paid. He's probably getting paid for a few years. He starts this fucking thing and now he's buying pieces of NHL teams. It's a sure bet. So that's the update. Michael, what did you have on the NHL? You went through a couple of things with me.
Yeah, it was, I thought it was big news to hear that, Ottawa Senators owner Eugene Melnyk is sort of being pushed out.
Oh yeah. Alfredson and,
Phillips
and Chris Phillips,
yep,
are leading the charge to, so they're probably got some rich friends that they put together and they're trying to buy the team. Now, did I talk about that a few episodes ago, how I want a Canadian Bitcoin millionaire to buy a junior team? Yeah. So that's basically, they've taken my idea that's obviously fleshed out a little bit more and they're going to buy the Ottawa Senators. What else?
They want to build a stadium downtown and Melnyk can't do that. And he's been pretty negligent with the franchise over the past, you know.
Yeah, he's a,
he's
a bit of a wild man. Okay. What else? So
Sam Bennett, they put down the 3-game suspension today.
Yeah, so I watched the hit. Okay, so here's my take on it. I don't know who the guy he hit was, but
Cedric Paquette.
Paquette gets he picks up a bouncing loose puck, takes it to the front of his net, just below the hash marks. Stick handles a couple of times, his fucking head's down. All right. Bennett comes in and tattoos him. Now, I agree with the, here's the thing. I don't agree with the suspension because I don't think it should be a suspension because the puck is in the guy's fucking skates. But I have to come to grips with the fact that they've changed the rule. And you can't make incidental head contact as the first point of contact. So then I look at it from a different lens and it's just irresponsible on Bennett. He could have fucking tattooed him. You got to hit guys in the solar plex. That's how you knock the wind out of guys. That's how you send a message to a guy not to fuck with you. When you hit a guy in the solar plex, he can feel it, okay? I told you, that's what I do with Nash when he runs. What I'm trying to teach Nash is you can't run out into the street. So I stop Nash and I kneel down and I tap his solar plex and I say, Nash, if you run out on the street, you're going to get hit and it's going to hurt, okay? So Sam Bennett, First of all, he was in his prime scoring position. He should have just tried to fish the puck out of the guy's feet and bury it. But he does hit him with a shoulder to the head, and it's a fucking penalty. So I agree with that. What else?
Big story out of Vancouver and the Kraken. Kraken fan notices the mole on the back of the Canucks assistant equipment manager Red Hamilton's neck. Pretty amazing story.
Yeah, so I saw that the fan got $10,000. Who gave that to him?
I'm not sure. I think it was kind of a scholarship to medical schools, from what I understand.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that is a beautiful story. It's just unheard of, right? But you know, how would you know? And it was a cancerous mole. So yeah, that's I like that. Heartwarming. What else?
So for me, the biggest story was the Blues coming out in their Beach Boys theme.
Fuck.
That actually just made me so agitated.
It was, I love the Blues. Okay. 2 years ago, they were my team. They were my team in 1992 when I was at my first NHL game, Maple Leaf Gardens. I had a sign that said Hall of a Shot. Okay. The Blues have been in my blood for a long time. I had a Blues starter jacket that I wore. I loved the team. It was such a stupid fucking cheesy choice, okay? What they all should have done is they all should have been in comfy mock neck, merino wool mock neck shirts, turtle mock necks, okay? With nice, clean, stretchy slacks, and they all should have been in fucking giant ass fur coats. You know, like when you see the guys back in the day when they went to the fights, okay? And American Gangster, Denzel and American Gangster, that fur coat, that mink coat, they should have been rocking the sickest fucking mink fur coats ever and roll in, because it was freezing cold. It was the coldest NHL game in the history. It was fucking minus 20 in Minnesota. Why would you want to be freezing cold? It was just a stupid, I get it. I get the contrast thing. I saw that. I figured it out right away. Ha ha ha. Funny, kitschy, not cool. All right. Not cool. Roll in there looking like American Gangsters. They ended up winning. They played a great game. So that was fine. Okay. Episode 11. No gruffs given. Let's go through this Malone interview with Rogan. Okay. I'm going to be quick. What are we on time so far?
About 30 minutes.
Okay. 30 minutes. First of all, Flu Rona. It's Flu Rona. It's Flu Rona season. Okay. So we used to have the flu season. Now we have the Flu Rona season. That is a hybrid of the two. Okay. I say that because, well, the PCR test that they've been telling you to take for the last 2 years that they've been basing, you know, everything on, they can't tell the difference. That is a fucking fact. Okay. Now, what's also interesting, and it's funny, is that, and Dr. Malone talks about it, is that something's changed from when McCullough was on the show to Malone. And I guess you can get COVID twice now. And I know I said 2 weeks ago that you can't. Well, 2 weeks ago, I believed that you couldn't. But apparently, the Omicron variant, it's not as strong, so you can get COVID again. I don't believe it, but Malone said you can, and I don't know. I wasn't clear if McCullough agreed and they were in both in agreement on it or what. All right. That being said, Dr. Robert Malone, he's got his name on 10 patents that were part of the mRNA technology. Okay. The guy was there. He was part of the fucking team that created the technology that allows the vaccine to even work now. He was a carpenter turned virologist. His big sweet spot is drug repurposing. So he works for Defense Threat Reduction Agency, sometimes brings him in to develop drug repurposing. So if there's an epidemic, if there's a pandemic, or if there's a huge shit show going on somewhere, they bring in Malone as part of the team and say, what drugs already exist that we can put together, repurpose to fight this existing virus? So that's the guy's, he cuts his teeth in that shit. The guy's a fucking G, all right? I loved listening to him, super prepared. So him and Rogan go through it. Malone is also, he's on the NIH study chair. to help them award grants in biodefense. Okay. So the NIH is, they ask Malone for his input when they give a $100 million grant to somebody to develop biodefense fucking weapons. All right. Defense Threat Reduction Agency, which they basically are in charge of taking care of weapons of mass destruction. Not weapons, well, I guess probably a bunch of different weapons, but part of the thing that they consider weapons are viruses. All right. So if the Chinese created this as a weapon, well, then it's a fucking weapon. The Wuhan virus, the China flu. What do you want from me? Drug discovery for nerve agents. The guy's deep in it. All right. Couple of things that he said. And I strongly recommend you going and listening to this, because now we've got the double dose of the two interviews. The fix is in.
Just so you know, YouTube just took down the anti-vax Joe Rogan interview with Dr. Robert Malone, which likened vaccines to mass psychosis.
Oh, well, that's the big, yeah, the big thing people are taking out of it is this whole mass psychosis thing. I mean, I just assume that that's true. You can argue that, right? There's the shit that I want to talk about. You can't argue. It's fucking science. Although we know Tony Fauci, Tony's science, but science is science, right? So yeah, that's the big, so they took it down. They took the McCullough thing down. If you don't realize the fix is in and start taking yourself to the streets to fight this shit, then I don't know what to say to you. You know, we need leaders that bring us all together to fight this. We the people, rules for thee, not for me. Okay. Oh, by the way, AOC's in Florida with her boyfriend and his ugly fucking feet in sandals. Creepy ass shit that she then flipped around to try and sort of say that Republicans were trying to sleep with her. I mean, she's off her rocker. Okay. So back to Malone. The FDA also, funny enough, forced the DOD to stop an ivermectin trial early in the pandemic. Why is that? Okay. Conspiracy between Janet Woodcock and Rick Bright to not allow the doctors to administer hydroxy outside of the hospital. All right. That was early on. Again, red flags. Firing. I got a Nerf gun and I'm fucking walking around the backyard firing red flags at people. Okay. So Uttar Pradesh. This is wild. There's a place in India called Uttar Pradesh, which apparently is as big as the entire country of America. Okay. They have basically trampled COVID. They have no COVID issues whatsoever. And they did this by these early treatment packets that they had created that they were giving all the people. All right. Now, at some point, Biden met with the prime minister of Uttar Pradesh. And for some reason, after that meeting, Uttar Pradesh decided not to tell anybody what was in these packets. Is that not a red flag? Did I not just like win the game with that red flag? They've trampled COVID and they're not allowed to say, or they've agreed to not tell people how they've done it. Okay. Malone said that it's documented. This is another thing. While all whoever you are, if you're a parent and they're trying to vaccinate your child to play hockey right now, Malone said it's documented that people with prior COVID infection have a higher chance of adverse effects if vaccinated. That right there is enough at this point for me to say, yeah, okay. That if I have to vaccinate my child, and let me just be clear again on the record, because I feel like I have to do this. I don't give a fuck what you do with your body. What I do care about is when you tell me that I have to do something with my child's body. Okay. That's when I start to, it's fight or flight. All right. That's how this works. So Malone says that it's documented. People with prior infection have a higher chance of adverse effects if vaxxed. Natural immunity is 27% better protection than the vaccine. There's 140 studies that back that up that are peer reviewed. All the numbers are inflated. Hospital bonuses. Hospitals currently get bonused for patients with COVID, patients put on a ventilator, and patients who die with COVID, not of COVID, with COVID. Okay. That is a very important number. If you're not, if you don't believe the fix is in, then I wish I could, what can we do to tell you? And if you do believe the fix is in and you're not voicing it, you gotta be brave. This is the only way we're going to get out of this thing. FDA didn't enforce pharma to report adverse reactions during its trials. Specifically with a girl by the name of Maddie DeGarry. She was a 13-year-old girl who was part of the study, and after the first shot, something happened. She's now eating out of a feeding tube, okay? Now, because it happened after the first shot, Pfizer had the ability to just take her out of the trial, and they don't have to report it. What they did report, though, was that she had a stomach ache. I mean, I, you know, listen, I'm not a diabolical person, but I have a fucking pretty good tentacle system for diabolicalness. When you read something like that, that a 13-year-old is now eating out of a feeding tube, I immediately go, who the fuck are her parents and how did they let her take part in a vaccine trial? Like, who are any of these kids that took, I don't know. All right. It's not my business because it's not my kid, but it's not, it makes me uncomfortable. All right. Hospital administrators, they attack any doctor who wants to educate on early treatment. That's another red flag. The lipids. A big thing, the lipids, all right? The lipid nanoids, all right? Something or other. It's the important part of the mRNA technology. Lipids are leaking to women's ovaries. It's a synthetic molecule. It's leaking into women's ovaries, and it's causing alterations in menstrual cycles. There's women that are in, there's women... Okay, what is it called when you menopause? There's women that are in menopause that are basically reversing out of menopause. They're having bleeding, menstrual cycles of some sort. Okay. Yeah, that's what's happening. It's not funny. All right. There's also what else? The other thing with here's the other thing. The Hasidic Jews. Apparently, the Hasidic Jews, they just put their foot down early on, and that's why you remember the Hasidics probably, you know, maybe you were like, why don't they get vaccinated? Well, they wouldn't get vaccinated because they were aware of this menstrual issues early on. And the Hasidics, that's part of their religion, to procreate, okay? And they need to know because there's no birth control and a cycle and the whole thing. It's fascinating shit. The protein spike binding to cells is, and it's been reported, and there are factual studies that show this, hampering, in some cases, the protein spike binding to cells. It's hampering blood from traveling via your tubes, which is possibly causing the myocarditis. We don't know exactly what it is, but it is happening. All right. It's multifactorial. Malone used that term, and I liked it. Multifactorial. I'm going to start using it. The spike protein in the virus is different than the spike in the spike protein in the virus is different from the spike in the vaccine. That's interesting. He also said the spike protein is a toxin. And then Malone started to talk about this thing, basically, you know, vaccine enhanced infection. Which is something that you should start to think about, because as they ask you to get your eighth booster and you know, now they're on fucking, they've got our, you know, when they start making the videos with our dogs, with the kids and dogs in it, that's when you know they've gone too far. Okay. That's the danger zone. And I don't think it's that far away. You got to start thinking about this stuff. The fix is in. All right. I feel energized. I don't know how long this was. What was, how long was this?
You're at 45 minutes.
I'm at 45 minutes. Okay. It feels good. I don't know if there's anything else to talk about. Put a lot on your plate. New Year's cameos. All right. The direction that you want to go in, it's a good direction. If you make the decision that you are going to be your boss, if you're going to control your destiny, if you're going to make moves, if you're going to call shots, if you're going to take a swing at the ball, if you need to do that, well, if you want to do that and you need a little help, or you have somebody in your life that you want to help, book a cameo. It's a motivational cameo. We say, you know what, 2022, it's our fucking year, and we're in it to win it like Iserman. We're not interested in participation medals. You give me the details, I give you the cameo, and we get after it, all right? That's how we roll. Episode 11, no gruffs given. I'll see you next week.
This podcast was produced and edited by Embassy Road.